You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Acts and chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, it is our privilege. We don't even understand it, to be before you. So God, help us. Spirit of God, honor our Lord. And our Lord, make it all work that our Father would be pleased. And our God, we're going to thank you. Just plain thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our little exercise in the Gospel of John, in chapter 16, we have shared together that the disciples, being very depressed, sorrow, grief, the end of everything, the end of all of their hopes and dreams, was coming to an end. Christ was going to go and be crucified. And God in his wonderful kindness, heard them, and then he helped them. And he gave them that kind of hope, that kind of surety, that kind of sureness about the future. And where is it to be found? In himself. He's the God of all comfort. And therefore he said, the Spirit of God, if I don't go away and be crucified, I cannot finish the wonderful plan of salvation in saving you. So therefore, I have to go to the cross, and he has to come and make real and make right all of that which I have made possible. Now therefore, the whole comfort, all of the comfort, all comfort comes from God, the God of all comfort. All the comfort, encouragement, comfort to come alongside somebody, to help, to aid, to ally, to come along and provide whatever they need, encouragement. God himself is that. We keep looking for other places and other things and other people to come and help us. But God said, no, you need to just look to me. Like our Lord in Matthew 17. There's Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. And then God took them away, and Peter, James, and John would see what? Only Jesus. When it was all done, only Jesus. Only God. So now, having said that, so life is full of ups and downs. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, etc., it goes up and down. And all of your life, you can be 5 years old and your life's going to go up and down. You're going to be 8 years old and your life's going to go up and down. And whatever age you are, whatever stage you're in, your life is going up and down. The good days and bad days. And you don't control them. You can't control them. And we live in our little world. And then the world around us, our city, our state, is a controlling our little world. And the city and state that's being controlled is being controlled by the government. And the government's being controlled by the governments. And the whole thing, and the devil, the god of this world, is controlling the whole ball of wax. So now what? Here we are in a little world, we're able to eat food and watch whatever and do whatever and school and work and home. All the while, it's going to go up and down. And it isn't just our little world that we can hide and hibernate in, because all of this is controlling us and coming down. You can't control the price of milk, the gasoline. You can't do anything. You're stuck. With that little world, butthole, that everything out there is running the show. And we're affected by it. So, my question then is, like Peter, James, and the apostles in the upper room in John 16, so are we. Now God, we shared, he's the God of all comfort, and he comforts us by and in himself in a most wonderful way. And he makes it possible for the assignment to be given to the believing whosoever heart. That is the Father, John 17 and 18. As the Father sent me, so send I you. So however he went, we are now going to keep going and continuing what he did for 3 1/3 years. Here we are on planet Earth to keep it going, just like him. Therefore, you can't cheat on this. You don't want to say, because we're Christians and we have all the different show we do. But that isn't the same thing necessarily. That's what your assignment is. Your assignment is an awesome assignment. And that's what I want you to see. You can go right past it and never catch it. Now, so therefore, in order to get that, and remember now in John and Matthew chapters 12 and 38 and that, then you remember, I say it, I hope you know it. All of that, the Lord Jesus said very pointedly and clearly, the only sign I'm going to give to the whole world is an empty tomb, the sign of the prophet Jonah, 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and then you aren't going to see me anymore. You're not going to see me till I come. Not going to see me. Wow. Now, how do we answer the empty tomb? Now, God, here's the world that's important. You'll see it in a bit here. Here's the world in darkness. So I'm looking at Acts. I'm trying to get what was the encouragement that was going to happen. What would be the difference? Christ would be crucified, buried, and the third day he would rise again. Okay, that's the issue. Now let's put that together. Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8. He shall receive power, dynamo. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, remember John 16, has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, my witnesses, literally, my witnesses, witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You're going to bear witness to me. As my Father sent me, so send I you. You're going to do just me. I'm going to keep going, and I'm risen, but I'm going to keep sharing my wonderful, wonderful life by way of a whosoever that's believing. Therefore, the Spirit of God, chapter 1, remember, Judas Iscariot hung himself, he's out of the way. So we need to add one more to make up the 12 apostles that are necessary. Therefore, in chapter 1, going to verse 21, wherefore, they're looking now to fulfill the 12th man. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that Lord Jesus, went in and out among us. In other words, there was always people there most of the time. Verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. What's the one qualification? You must have been with us to see, in particular, his resurrection. You must be a viable witness of his resurrection. That's the issue. Now, and Christ can die. Can you believe in a dead Christ? Can you be saved by a dead Christ? Can you be saved by a crucified Christ? No. No, you can't. You can't receive God. You can't do it. Dead. You can't get it. There has to be life. Has to be life. That's what happens when you get a little boy, a girl born. There has to be conception. There has to be something happening of the cells to make life. Therefore, God his death to die to make possible his life. And therefore, the one sign, one thing, the only sign he's going to show is the sign of the prophet Jonah. And therefore, his life, his resurrection. They must witness his resurrection. Hang on. That's what they must do. Chapter 2, Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Chapter 2, picking up in verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell or Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. For, verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. All the believers, what made them qualified? They had witnessed his resurrection. That's why. They had to have that. Without it, they could do nothing. Over, if you can, in chapter 4. And you remember in chapter 4, picking up if I can, in chapter 4, verse 2, the apostles, this is the Pharisees and everybody, Sadducees, chapter 4, verse 2, being aggrieved that they taught the people and preach through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. That's the key. That's the point. Without it, you've got a dead Christ, and they already know that. The trouble is, he's risen. We can't find his body. There is no body. Empty tomb. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, he's who he is. He's God. He's God, come in the flesh, born in Bethlehem, Judea. No one wants to believe that. You don't want to believe that. No. After all, we have evolution and all these other things, don't we? Aren't we the bestest? Aren't we the mostest? Aren't we better than a kangaroo? Aren't we the highest there is? And we have our politicians and power people, and they have our show of power. We're the humans. There is no one better than us. And angels, we don't even use them like we even look to them like we used to years ago, many centuries ago. We don't do that. It's it. Materialism, socialism, communism. It's it. We're it. This is it. There is no more. So therefore, this resurrection business, an empty tomb, the only sign you're going to show. Now God, over to chapter 17 of Acts. Now what's the problem? Acts chapter 17, and if I can, in verse 31. Acts 17, verse 31. This is to the people in Athens, Paul preaching, verse 31, chapter 17 of Acts. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, so that all will know. That he hath raised him from the dead. How are you going to know the man? He's the one risen from the dead. That man. You didn't say that, Lord. No, he said that man. The man, Christ Jesus, risen from the grave. That man is going to judge all men. He is the judge. Now that is not acceptable. That is not acceptable. Therefore, before I do that, you need one other piece. Romans and chapter 10. When you get saved, to be truly saved, what happened? What did you do to get saved? I believed in Jesus died for me. That's good. That's good. What did you do to get saved? What saves you? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What do you need to believe? That Jesus Christ is risen. What's the only sign he's going to give to the unbelieving world? He's risen from the grave. That's what you need to believe. He died for your sin, and he rose again. He is the one, the gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15. He died according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. He risen again according to the scriptures. The scriptures. That man, that's the only man. And he's going to judge everybody by his standard. He is the standard for righteousness. Hang on. What do I do to get saved? I can't receive a crucified Christ, John 1:12, as many as received him. I have to receive a risen Christ that can save me. Otherwise, I can't. So what do? When we get saved, we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we can receive him. That's how you get saved, by believing in the resurrection, by showing the resurrection by believing it. You believe it, and you get saved. Wow, you're his witness. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So God, what a wonderful thing it is. That's how you get saved. That's why you're saved. That's why you're his witnesses. What are you a witness about? He's risen again. And how do you know that? I received him as my Savior. That's what I did. The whole world's out there. They don't care. But you did. You received him as your Savior. Now put this, you got to get the pieces. Over to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, and you recall, we turned here, remind yourself. John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus going directly, remember they, and in verse 32, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. Jesus chapter 10 of John, verse 32. I have showed you from my Father, for which of those works do you stone? You're going to stone them, kill them. Verse 33, the Jews answered Jesus and said, saying for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. You're just a man. Well, that's true, I'm just a man. Now, that's all you're just a man. Well, they don't want him to be God. They don't want the man to be like that, God. We don't want him to be God. Chapter 6 of John. And you will note, may I go to verse 14, what they not only rejected him as the man, as God, but they would receive him as a king. We don't mind, you're just a man. As long as you can be a man, you can be our king. Chapter 6, verse 14. And Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record, witness of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whether you go. I'm sorry. My Bible's open to 8, but I told you 6. You are correct and I am wrong. How's that? So I'll fix it according to what you did. Chapter 6, verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come unto the world. Verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him what? to make him a king. Over Herod, over Pontius Pilate, over Caesar, king. That's what they do. As long as you're a man and you stay at our level, we don't mind. We'll put you in the top of the pile if you want. To make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. God, you can't do that. No, you can't make me a king. You can't do that. Now, hang on. That's what they wanted. We'll make a man. If you want to be that man, you can be our king. But you must be a man. You must be it on our terms, like we shared on Wednesday. You don't want to go. Israel belied. They made God less than a man, less than God. That's the only way you can get along with God, is shrink God down to man-sized so we can handle him. We can't handle God in his infiniteness. Therefore, in chapter 5, our Lord gave us some help. And in chapter 5, please, picking up, please, in verse 43. I'm going to read verse 42. For I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Verse, chapter 5, John, verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and you'll receive me not. If another come, and he will, in his own name, him you will receive. You will have another man. You don't want me as your man. I am the man. I am the judge of I'm the judge of the whole earth. But you don't want me. You reject me, but you'll have another man. You want another man. And that other man is coming. Think of 2 Thessalonians, etc. 2 and 3 and 4 and all that. The son of perdition, judgment, ruin, waste, the son of the serpent, the devil, Antichrist, he's going to come. And him you will receive. You will receive him. You will not receive, you reject me. That's important, underline. They don't want God. That's important. You're coming up, if we can get there fast enough. Now, keep that in mind. Having said that, so the Antichrist is going to come. He's going to end up having the whole world, John chapter 13, Revelation 13, 8, etc. The whole world's going to have to pay attention to him. Over if I can now. So, while you're here in John, if you're still in John and in chapter 5, would you please notice, I'm going up, if I can, to verse 15. Chapter 5, verse 45. This is about Moses. Interesting about Moses. Do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? This is their unbelief. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. They didn't believe Moses. They're going to have another man. You don't want me, said the Lord. You're going to have another man, and in the process, you have never believed. Here's the first five books of Moses, Pentateuch, Moses, and you don't believe Moses? You don't believe Moses? In Matthew 23 and that? You don't believe any of the prophets? You kill them. Every time I try to tell you, say who I am, you don't want to know who I am. That's important. You don't want to know. Okay, now hang on. In the process of all of that. Over if I can, please, sliding along. And in the light of that, and remember what's going to happen, the chapter 10 of Matthew will help us. Chapter 10. And you will please note, our Lord sent them out, the disciples. He was going to go up and down Palestine as he did, Galilee and all of that. And in doing so, he would be there and in coming and going. And he would send ahead his disciples into the city telling, our Lord's coming through. Our Lord's coming through. So that everyone in the city can understand, because that's their communication, that he's coming through. Okay. Matthew chapter 10, picking up if I can, please. Verse 5. And the twelve Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not unto the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, in particular the Jew to the Jew first, verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And heal the sick and do all of these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things. And verse 10, no script. In other words, you're not going to take anything with you. You don't have to take anything with you. Verse 10, no script for your money. Neither two coats. You don't need to change your clothes. Neither shoes. Your shoes aren't going to wear out. Nor staves or anything. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who is in it worthy, and there abide still as a believer, someone that's looking to God, reading God's word, trusting God, and there abide till you go hence. In other words, go find somebody that's sympathetic and stay at their house, because that's the hotel. Verse 12. And when you come into an house, salute it, etc. And if the house be worthy, let the peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to it. In other words, don't bless them. Like in 3 John. Verse 14. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off of your feet. Noting, verse 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day than for that city. In other words, they're going to tell, the God's coming through, I don't want nothing to do with you, nothing to do with you. And they send them out, send them away. God said, shake the dust off your feet. I already told them, they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear, underline. They don't want to know. I'm coming. They don't want to know. Where is the promise of his coming? 2 Peter. We don't want to know. We don't want to know. Hang on. So therefore, as you go, and you'd know, and think of quickly, and to think of Luke 19 and that, Zacchaeus, he's going to come through to their town, the city, going through the city, and they're all lined up to say, who is this? Show to see like a parade, to see this curiosity, this one called Jesus and his disciples. And as he's going through the city, of course, he says nothing to nobody except a little guy up in a tree called Zacchaeus. And he stops and has a little time at Zacchaeus's house. He has lunch with him. Wow. But he never saw anybody else. But don't you care? I do care. They don't interest it. That little man is. That little man is worthy. That man is interested. Okay, so now, and when we come to Matthew 11 and all of that, woe unto Chorazin and all of these cities because they have no place for him at all. Rejection, rejection, rejection. And we have God's grace, God's wonderful grace. Therefore, over if you would please, to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 1. And the Gospel of John, chapter 1, picking up, please. And in John, chapter 1, what do we know? Well, I'll take it in order. John, chapter 1, verse 5. Remember, he is the light and life of the world. And in verse 5, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend, grasp. It doesn't want to grasp. It doesn't want to. What's the problem with it? Darkness, comprehended, cannot grasp it. Light. It hates light. It hates light. It can't get rid of light. Darkness, hates light. Doesn't want any light. And therefore, they don't want to see. I don't want to see. They try to put the light out. But you know what? And we said it 1,000 times. All the darkness in the world. If I put out all the stars and the sun and the moon, whoo, would it be dark? And Eversource turns off the power. And we got rid of it all. You couldn't take the little light running on the battery and make it go out. The little light would just shine. Darkness would like to put the light out. Christ is the light of the world. They can't put him out. That's the terrible part of this. Hang on. Now, having said that, so the world, what does the world do with them? What did Rome do with them, etc.? Gentiles. Chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They don't want to know him. And to boot, the Jews who should know him, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. So the world doesn't want to know. Darkness doesn't want to know light. The Jews don't want to have light. They don't want to have any light. They don't want to. So therefore, in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the God delivering, showing his wonderful grace, that God saves he himself, all by himself, all by his lonesome. He saves. So therefore the world doesn't want to know, no light, no darkness. Has no light, rather have darkness, has no sight, rather be blind. Christ is light, they don't want to know. And you put together all the pieces, think of Isaiah 5 and 20, you know, if you turn there, you know it. What are we going to do? Woe, 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 and here's one of the woes. Men take darkness and call it light, and light and call it darkness. Evil and call it good, and good and call it evil. Bitter and call it sweet. Sweet and call it bitter. Turn everything upside down. So how are we going to handle darkness? We can't cut it. We can't cut the light. You can't stop God being God. You can't quit. You can't, no matter what we do. So all we can do is turn it upside down and hope it'll go away. So we call darkness light and light for darkness. Over to Romans 1, I'd like to show you. You know it, I just want you to see it. It's important for where we're going. Romans chapter 1, picking up please. May I go directly to chapter 1, speaking of the world system, having verse 19, 1 and 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest, made clear, public, plain in them. Why? For God hath showed it unto them. Now, verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. There's no way to study any subject on this earth. There's no way to understand anything, except you're going to have to come to grips with the awesome. Everything is so awesome. Its intricacies, its involvement, its marvelousness, its awesomeness. So therefore, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, his deity. Now, underline in your head and heart, so that they are without what? They have no excuse. Does anyone have an excuse? No. No one. No one has an excuse. So God has to, no. God said, I remember, without doing all of this. God said, I told you, I talked to the, I little baby's born and I'm going to help the little baby know that I'm the creator. Now, if the little baby rejects that movement that God does in the heart and head, then we're left in the dark. And if we, our parents though, then we don't know anything because they don't know and they don't care. And my world doesn't know and world doesn't care. So I don't care. I'm going to be like them. Religious, unsaved, whatever. Now, having said that little bit, So God, men love darkness rather than light. So the system of darkness, and in the power of darkness, and you, without taking time to turn there, well, do that much anyway, at least a little, Ephesians. And that way, stay awake. Chapter 6. Darkness. What about darkness? That's the absence of light. And without light, you can't see. Can you? You couldn't see if it's dark. You say, I could see. No, you can't. And all you got to do, if you don't believe that, is close your eyes tight, close them and cover them. What do you see? You can't. You can't in the darkness. That's the whole point. That's why we love darkness rather than light. Why? I don't have to see. I don't need to understand. I really don't need to understand. I like that. Because otherwise, I've got a problem if I see. When you look in the mirror, who do you see? Do you like what you see? Well, when you're 10 years old, 15, and whatever you are, you think you're beautiful. And when you're 110, I'm not sure you look the same. You know? But Jenna has a picture of me somewhere up on the bureau. I saw it the other day there, sitting up there. I asked, what's that doing up there? It was when I was in the service and stuff and all that, you know, graduating college and all that, big pictures. I said, who is that guy? I didn't know who that guy was. I looked at me and I said, that isn't me. What happened to me? What happens to you? What happens to you? Ah, yes, we love darkness. We don't want to human flesh. So therefore, Ephesians 6, verse 12, you remember, we forward wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So our whole earthly life is what? Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And what do you know? What do you know from the Gospel of John without turning back there? What do you know? John 3 and 18. You do need to turn back there. John chapter 3. And he's the prince, the power of the air, the darkness, and all of those things. His kingdom is full of darkness, etc., etc. He's the God of this world. So, here we are looking, God. And in the process, chapter 3, picking up in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why is that? Because he hath believed not in the name of the Son, of the only begotten of the Son, the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because the deeds are evil. They don't want to be exposed. Verse 20. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. They hate the light. They hate that. So when are you going to receive it? God, you owe him. No, I don't. I don't know anybody. I made it possible for everyone to know me. And when they reject me, I will try to reach them by my Son. And I'm going to, if you seek me with all your heart, what? You'll find me. God chronicles, I search the whole world up and down, looking to show myself strong. If I can find a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that would honor me, I'm looking for somebody, trying to find somebody. But I don't know anybody. I don't know them. And the only witness I'm going to show is the sign of the prophet Jonah, an empty tomb. I'm going to take a whosoever, and that's my witness, that whosoever. You won't find me in that. You won't find the tomb. You can't find me. You can see a whosoever saved. That's what you can see. And I will refute. I don't want to jump way ahead. Now, so therefore, having said this, now, over to John chapter 16. Remember, now, before I do that, remember what you read in verse 18. It's important. I know you know it, but the end, verse 18. But he that believeth not, N-O-T, is condemned already. The unsaved person is condemned. Because, reason, he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why. Now over to John and chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, may pick up, please. And you will note in the process, John chapter 16, we shared together. I'm going to go directly to verse 8. And when he, the Spirit of God, has come, he will reprove. He will reprove. The word reprove, convict, convince. And it has a demonstrative pronoun. He himself will reprove. You don't reprove. I don't reprove. We don't do the job. No, he does the job. It's his job to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's his job. Now, how does he do it? He doesn't go to communism. Communism's dark. Shut off. Islam, shut off. The unsaved hearts, shut off. They don't want to hear. And know what? They don't. Think of the country of Turkey, where all seven churches of in Revelation 2 and 3 are. And God said, if you don't honor me, the light's going to go out. Go, the lampstands are gone. And they're gone. They're gone. And I think I said, last I knew, I don't know if it's changed. I don't think so, but maybe. There's no church. And the churches that used to be in Turkey, they're all gone. They don't want believers. They don't have believers. They kill believers. They persecute believers. They hunt them down. We don't want believers. The EU covenant, the EU, for the great thing that's coming up in the world, European Union and all of that stuff. They have a thing, you can't evangelize. You can't go to God. You can't look for God. You don't look for God. God's out. God's out. Dark. Well, God, you got to tell them. You rejected me and crucified me. You're rejecting the believers. You're rejecting my testimony. You're rejecting the saved man standing among you, and you get rid of him, kill him, jail him. So what happened to the light? You tried to get rid of it, and you did. You got rid of it like you crucified me. But the trouble is, it didn't end. I rose again. So therefore, in verse 8, convince the world by evident and convincing reasons to prove unbelief, unrejection. They're wrong. The world's wrong about God. God is God in Christ. The world, every human, every angel, angels don't have that problem. All the humans. If you say Jesus isn't God, you're wrong. You're wrong. To say he didn't die for your sins, you're wrong. You're wrong. He did die for your sins. He did take you to the cross. No, he didn't. You're wrong. And that's what the Spirit of God is what? The whole world, Romans 3 and 19, the whole world ends up being what? 3 and 19, guilty. The whole world is guilty. And God is right, and the world, the system is wrong. They've rejected God, and they rejected the truth, and rejected who he is. And therefore, God's going to convict them of sin. What sin? Sin. Now, the sins in the sins of the world. So, over, yeah, John. God, what are you going to do? Over to, well, take John chapter 8. Oh, time. Anyway. John chapter 8. It's a wonderful subject. I wish I could do it better for you. It's a big subject. It's a big subject. It's awful hard to do big subjects in 10 seconds. from my standpoint. It'd be like going to school and say, I'm going to do 1 week, I should graduate next week. No, you got to go 25 years before you can graduate. And you keep going, because you have to keep learning. You learn 1 + 1 = 2, yay! Now you got to go 2 × 2 = 4. Now you got algebra and geometry and trigonometry and when does it end? Because you want to know the math. Don't you want to be able to do math? That's right. Okay, so God, here we are, John chapter 8. Our Lord said it directly if I can. If I can, verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. Reason. For if you believe not, and you may not, if you believe not that I am, like in Exodus 3 and 14, Moses says, what's your name? I am that I am. Here it is right in front of you. And you'll see it, verse 24, he is in italics. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Not because of your sins. Not because of your sins. No, not because. How are you going to judge the world? The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world died. That's why we could be created. That's why we're sitting here. If Christ didn't make provision for us, we wouldn't be here. God doesn't send something in that's unsavable. And therefore, God, what are we doing? Well, God died for the sins of the world. God to have all men to be saved, etc., etc., etc. He's the propitiation, the satisfaction for the sins of the world. All of these things. You're going to die in your sins. The great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, down if you would, what would it say? How is God going to judge Cain and everyone thereafter? By their sins? No. By their works. By their works. He won't bring up sins again. He's done. What's the problem? It's the sin of not believing in the Lord Jesus. You're going to die in your sins. Understand, if you don't get saved, Christ bearing your sin, you're going to end up dying unsaved in the same condition you were before you ever, when you started, in your sins, the old sin nature. It ain't going to go away. What are you going to do in eternity? The lake of fire. You're going to live with that old nature. The trouble is, it'll be very real to you then. Awesomely real, forever. It'll never stop being real. That's horrible. Horrible. But God... You go, back over to John chapter 16. And you'll notice, please, in verse 9, of sin, remember, God's going to convict, convince, reprove, put to the test to prove them all wrong, of sin because they believe not. Sin, singular. Of sin because they believe not, what? On me. Do you remember reading anyone else where God said, because you treated your mother bad, because you killed 35 people, you won't read that. You won't read that because God isn't doing that. He died for the sins of the world. And that's why he offers you to be saved. What's the one thing that makes you unsaved? You don't believe. That's all he's ever going to say to you. Believe. Oh, that's a sin. What makes you such a unique witness? Because you're what? You believed. You're a believer. You see? That's what I am. That's what you is. Believe us. We're a witness. Of what? Who can be? It isn't my, I'm not, I didn't make myself saved. You don't make yourself saved. Who's witnessing? The Spirit of God himself is rebuking. The world says that God can't save. And the Spirit of God said, here he is. And by the way, you know, what do you know about angels? Angels know the difference between who's saved and who's not. They know the difference. It's just humans don't know the difference. That's what they are. And that's what it is. We're his witnesses. That we're his. His. What? To show that we're saved. He saves us. Who saves us? He does. Who said so? He did. Who says you're saved? Can you say you're saved? Sure you can. Over to John. I got to close. Over if you would, please. To 1 John. I sort of lost it a little bit. Hope you're getting a little bit. It's a wonderful thing. And if people say, well, you've got to have, they all know in the middle of the darkest continent of somewhere and where there's no, they don't want to know. And they don't know. You believe. They got all kinds of stuff going on. If you go to China and places like that, wow, you don't want to be there. You won't have anything light. It's horrible what they do. And no one says anything because that's always the way it's been. Kill millions of people and you'll never hear it. We kill two dogs over here and it's the national news. We kill millions of people over there. Nothing. It's the way it is. Wow. So here, John, 1 John 5. God, what are we to say? Verse 12. He that hath a son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written. That's why we're reading it. That's why we have the Bible in front of us, God's Word. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. What in order that what? That you may know. That isn't like knowing in school, first grade, second grade, third grade. That's not that knowing. It's like knowing you're alive. How's that? Now, most of you can handle this. Do most of you know you're alive? Most of you? Know you're alive. What kind of study is you, are you telling that you're alive? You just what? You know you're alive. I move my fingers. I'm alive. That's right. You know it intuitively. It's part of your nature. With how we know things. We know we're hot, we know we're cold, we know. These things have I written unto you that you may what? Know. That's why we got it. Now God, who says you're saved? God does. The Spirit of God does. And we can be terrible Christians in the sense that we'll be saved. Think of 1 Corinthians 3 and 15. We'll be saved as by what? Fire. By fire. You'll have nothing at all, but believe me, if God is in your heart, you're done saved. Now, whether you ever enjoy that or get to it, if that's real for you, if it isn't real, that's why nothing clicks, because we never did that. But if it's real, then you're going to be saved as by 1 Corinthians 3:15. If you don't do anything and don't care, wood, hay, and stubble, fire. Be saved by what? You're going to be saved. Think of Peter. Peter, what are you going to say? It is an awesome thing, said Peter, that the righteous are hardly, scarcely, with difficulty saved. Jude, don't even touch the garment. Don't even touch their garments. So God saves to the uttermost. So don't give God, don't play with God's, no, you don't. God saves awesomely. And plain old God does it, and he has plain did it. And that's what you're going to know and have to know. That's why you're going to go to heaven, if you say. And we forget going to heaven. That's why you should be alive on planet Earth, because you're saved. And God does it. And God does it and says so. And God says so. So to the world may do whatever. But God said, there's a saved man. There's a saved woman, a saved boy, a saved girl. There they are. They're mine. They're mine. I put them right in the middle. Oh, they didn't do much. You would never know it, but they were saved. And you either, now they didn't know it. They lost out, but so did everyone else in that sense of being a testimony. But they're saved. And that's the only sign I'm going to give them. I'm not going to give them any more. And either that believer is going to be wherever, think of Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, what? To be witnesses wherever you are, in the bathroom, in the grocery store, in the classroom, that's what you are. You bring God. You bring God into the kitchen. You bring God into the grocery store. You bring God into it. That's what you do. We say, you're saved. You're saved. And for the angels looking to say, angels aren't going to be confused. And angels look and see. And the world needs to look and see. It's an awesome thing. God, we're his witnesses. Awesome. I appreciate your patience. I hope you're getting a little bit. It's an awesome thing that you have. And it isn't about you, about me, how efficient we are, how wonderful we are, or we're Christians. No, Christians... That's not a good word in the world. Ever never been a good world. They hate Christians. They don't mind Christendom, but they hate Christians. Believers, believers are awesome. Believers are real. Churchgoers aren't necessarily real, but believers are. Believers are. God help us. I hope you see. It's a wonderful subject. Our Father and God, thank you for your kindness and caring. And God, we're just trying to wake up and get up and understand a little bit of what it means just to be able to know you. And God, to be able to get out of bed and go to bed and work and home and school and whatever we have to do, just to be able to do it and do it because you just love us and saved us. And God help us to practice that. Honor that relationship. We're sons, children of God, children, sons, joint heirs. God, we want to honor you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our Savior, our Lord, our Creator, and our Father. Thank you very, very much. So God, the world doesn't, darkness doesn't want to know. The world doesn't want to know. But God, you're going to leave us there anyway. In the world, but not of it. And our God, we thank you for all that you're doing and all that you will do, even now. Thank you, God. Thank you that, God, you can hug us. Yeah. God, thanks. In Christ's name.